David Ray Griffin is our guest. He's the author of the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. And welcome back to our airwaves, David. Now that we've provided just a little bit of context and discussed the issue of the Saudi flights and the FBI just briefly, let's kind of move on. And that's going to be how it goes a little bit this morning, folks, because there's a lot to talk about and only so much time. There's, what is it, 17 chapters here in the book, and 16 chapters in the book. The first half or so, maybe two-thirds of the book, deals with kind of general issues around omissions and distortions, whether it's the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings or the Pentagon strike, the Saudi flights, the FBI, the Pakistani intelligence service, and the second half deals pretty much specifically with the response of the U.S. military. And I think we'll focus on the military part in the next segment after the next break. So let's move through some of the first parts of the book. Let's actually skip over the segment about the hijackers, except to point out that the commission could not show any evidence that any of those 19 hijackers we heard so much about were actually on any of those planes. And as you point out in the book, at least six of the supposed hijackers have since been found alive.
Yeah, it's amazing that the commission wouldn't even mention this and say, well, you know, maybe there were some stolen identities or something like this. They just ignored it altogether, put in even the photographs and biographies of the 19 men, as if there were no question that these were the actual hijackers, where at least six of them have shown up alive. Some have been interviewed by London newspapers. One walked into a U.S. embassy and announced that he was still alive, and so on. So that's a rather gross omission that occurs on the very first pages.
Let's look at the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings, all three of them. Yep, that's right. All three. Buildings number one, number two, and number seven. Let's look at buildings number one and two first, because they really fit together, and building seven's its own separate thing. Tell us what, in your opinion, is completely false about how the commission presents the collapse of those two buildings.
Well, the main thing is it doesn't deal with any of the problems with the collapse. It doesn't point out that never before in history have high-rise steel-framed buildings collapsed. And, you know, we just recently had a raging fire in Madrid, and the fire was going clear through the building and burned for many, many hours, and yet it didn't collapse. And yet on 9/11, allegedly, these relatively small fires, particularly small in the South Tower and building number seven, the very tiny fires in seven, somehow brought down these three giant buildings. And no explanation of that. Furthermore, there are at least 10 characteristics of controlled demolitions that all of these collapses illustrated. For example, they collapsed very fast, in 10 to 15 seconds. They collapsed straight down into their own footprint. There were many other signs of controlled demolitions. The 9/11 report doesn't even mention that as a possible theory.
Well, another really curious thing is that the collapses were total. I mean, these are 100, 110-story buildings. You would think that in a collapse like that, given the design of the building with all these core columns around a center, there would have been pieces of steel sticking up, you know, dozens and possibly even hundreds of feet. I mean, these were almost 1,000 feet tall, and the collapses went down to the ground.
Almost, yeah, nothing more than three stories high. And the commission explicitly endorses the pancake theory, as does this recent little hit piece in Popular Mechanics that endorses the pancake theory. Well, that's the theory that when the planes hit the buildings, they, of course, weakened the floors where they hit, and The idea was then that the floors above them would have collapsed on the floor below them, and then they would have pancaked all the way down, just like the old-fashioned phonograph where the records would collapse. The problem is that in that record collapse, you still have the spindle sticking up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Well, likewise, as you mentioned, the distinctive feature of these buildings, what was distinctive when they were built, was that the core consisted of these 47 really massive steel columns, the very wide at the bottom, and then they tapered off at the top. Well, even if one could plausibly believe that pancake theory would be true and that it could have collapsed at virtually free fall speed, you still would have had those 47 columns sticking about, as you say, 1,000 feet up in the air, and yet they were not.
Well, I mean, let's say that even those 47 columns collapsed 3/4 of the way to the ground, that's still a couple 300 feet.
That's right. That's right. And so how did the 9/11 Commission handle this? It didn't take it on head on. It just implicitly handled it by saying that the core of each tower consisted of a hollow steel shaft. There couldn't be a bigger lie that you could imagine that any report would put out.
Yeah, and yet there are. That was pretty damning. I remember at the time as well that the removal of debris was an urgent feature of the cleanup effort. I don't know how or why, but a lot of the steel beams seemed to break really conveniently in 30-foot lengths, and they happened to fit on these trucks just perfectly to be able to cart them away. I've never heard of that. I've not found anything in my research of structural engineers who could explain why these steel beams, solid steel beams, broke in such a uniform fashion, and nobody can explain why it had to be removed immediately. It's a federal crime to remove evidence from a crime scene.
That's right. Both of those points are very important. The fact that they broke at convenient lengths is one of the 10 characteristics of controlled demolition. In fact, the very company that went in to clean up the mess is called Controlled Demolition Incorporated. And they advertise on their website that that's part of their technique, is that they break all the steel in the building at lengths that are ready to load onto trucks. So that's what you had there.
Yeah, it makes sense.
With regard to the removal of the steel, the claim that was made at the time, if you remember, was that there still may be some bodies under there, and so we've got to take all possible steps to save any lives that we might save. And so we have to remove the steel in order to get, you know.
Well,
the problem with that was that building number 7 also collapsed, but according to the official story anyway, everybody had been removed from the building at about noon. It didn't collapse until 5:20 in the afternoon, and so there would have been no bodies there under the rubble, and nevertheless, the steel was removed from building number 7 just as quickly. Now, the 9/11 Commission report handles this incredibly by not even mentioning the building number 7 collapse.
Right. It's like it didn't exist to begin with.
And that was very convenient because everybody admits that, as difficult as it is to explain the collapse of the Twin Towers, explaining the collapse of the building number 7 is just impossible. FEMA just said, we don't know. And the 9/11 Commission didn't even take it on. It just ignored the whole issue. This is a 47-story building, and it would be, you know, given the fact that the planes hit the towers, one can claim that it was the fire plus the impact of the planes that brought the towers down. That would leave building number 7 as the first building in history to be brought down solely by fire. So that should be an enormous story for insurance companies around the world the 9/11 Commission doesn't even mention it.
And I can understand the issue of removing debris from on top of potential victims of the collapse who might still be alive, but removal and, you know, safe storage for later examination are two different things. They were not only was the debris removed from the site, it was put on ships bound for Asia to be recycled.
So that's right. And again, the 9/11 Commission doesn't point this out, doesn't point out, as you did earlier, that generally removal of any piece of evidence whatsoever from a crime scene is a federal offense. This was obviously a crime scene, and yet it was the FBI itself that supervised the removal of evidence.
Right, and then there's the whole issue of jurisdiction. You know, it's like New York City has its own investigative teams, city, borough, county, state, etc. There was not necessarily any reason for the federal government to step in and control things unless the federal government felt like it needed to step in and control things.
That's right, and this happens quite often that the FBI does step in. This is one more example of that, and one more suspicious fact which the 9/11 Commission omits.
I'm speaking with David Ray Griffin. He's the author of the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, as well as, from a couple years back, The New Pearl Harbor, I guess about a year back.